So we are still looking at this two-step transformation here this evening. Just as a Christian, these are kind of the bare bones of what you need to be doing on a regular basis. And the first step of this transformation process is putting aside or laying aside the old self. And then the new self must be on. We must put on the new self. And we talked about laying aside the old self last Sunday. When you dedicate your life to Christ, there are some shifts that are pretty much automatic. There are some things that have to go. If you are a follower of Christ, then that means that there are some things you have to look into yourself, and you might actually have to remove some things. Some of these things might be parts of your character or your personality. Regardless, there are some things that have to change. That's what laying aside the old self is all about. It's getting rid of all of those traits that just don't jive with this new life that you are supposed to be living. Now, we've got to be diligent. We've got to be intentional about removing those things, because bad traits, they don't just leave on their own. You know, we've got to focus on removing them ourselves. So hopefully we got all of those useless and maybe even damaging traits out in 2020. We've had a week to kind of assess the damages and see if there's any of that old self still left in us. Now hopefully now we're ready to move forward and talk about putting on the new self. And that's what we're going to talk about here this evening. Because that's the other part of this transformation equation. That's how you make this transformation complete. You need to do both parts. You know, if you try to put on the new self and you haven't laid aside the old self, well, you're going to have some complications. There are parts of the old self and the new that just, they don't go together. They're mismatched. Like it's impossible to be both of those things at the same time. And that's why a lot of people struggle to be able to put on the new self. It's because they haven't actually laid aside that old self. But if you have put away the old self, and you haven't put on the new self, well, that's incomplete as well. I would say now you're naked. You're not clothed with the kind of righteousness that God would have his people to be in. And so you are actually farther along in your journey than when you hadn't put away that old self. But there's still some work that needs to be done. I still have work I need to do. And really, so do you. So does everyone else that's here. But this aspect of putting on the new self, it just seems like it's much, much harder to maintain on a regular basis. Because most of the aspects of the old self are generally looked down by really just any and everyone. Because no one likes a thief. No one likes a liar. If you went out and asked 1,000 non-Christians if they like liars, you're going to get a lot of no's. You might even get all no's. And it's the same thing with thieves. There are parts of the old self that if you were just a halfway decent person, you're not really going to be taking part in those things anyway. Also, most of those aspects of the old self are just generally not even useful in order to be productive in life. You know, has being a wrathful person really actually ever helped anybody? I think the answer to that is probably no. Just in casual relationships, if you're someone who is prone to anger and wrath, then typically those relationships might suffer. So you've got some practical life measures that make getting some of the old self out a little bit easier. And also, just as you become a more experienced Christian, some of those old behaviors are just not as appealing as they once were. If you were actively trying to become a better Christian, then being known as a thief really doesn't work for those efforts. And so a lot of the baggage from the old self can be put away somewhat swiftly, and then there's just a little bit left, and that's kind of what you need to focus on. But what's much harder is replacing those traits with good traits. Replacing those bad traits with godly traits, I think that's a much tougher task. You know, especially if you're going to do it with any kind of consistency. But that's really the goal. That's the goal of this transformation process. We are in the process of removing bad traits and replacing them with good, new, and godly traits. And sometimes those traits of this new self, they don't come maybe as naturally as we might want them to. And I think that can be a hindrance to putting on the new self as well. You know, like maybe I know that I'm supposed to be edifying the saints, but maybe I'm not really a people person. Without putting on that aspect of this new self, it's a little bit harder. There are parts of this new self that might even go completely against your personality. It might even go against parts of the things that kind of make you who you are. But even still, it still has to be done. We still have to deny self and put on the new self. In order to experience this transformation that God wants you to, you have to overcome some different things. I think the idea of being complacent, it's also can be a hindrance to putting on this new self as well. We talked about that a little bit last week as well. As you experience growth as a Christian, sometimes we can have a tendency to want to relax. Because we are doing pretty good right now, we want to kind of throw our Christian life on autopilot. But as we're going to see tonight, putting on the new self doesn't really work that way. You can't do that on autopilot. So you can see that there's kind of some natural barriers that can cause us to struggle to put on this new self in the way that we're supposed to. But our job is to be diligent about attacking those barriers and making sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do really day in and day out. And it doesn't matter if you're an old Christian or a young Christian, old, new, it doesn't matter. Everybody has this responsibility. Because pleasing God and becoming transformed into the creature that He would have us to be, that should be your number one goal and number one aspect of your life. You know, the thought of being more like Christ tomorrow should compel us to do whatever we can in order to put on this new self. I think unfortunately though, sometimes this transformation that we're talking about, it really isn't the main aspect of our life. It's just another one of the cogs in our lives. So like we go to work, we hunt, we watch football, and then we go to church. So it's a casual thing, it's a normal thing. So because of that, we're not overly concerned with living the kind of life that a Christian ought to live. We aren't focused on becoming this new person that's useful to God. Being a thriving Christian, it's not the thing in our life. It's just another thing, and it's a casual thing at that. But experiencing this transformation has to be your exclusive focus in order for it to work. So if there is anything in your life that is more important than becoming transformed the way that God would have you to, then you're going to need to make some changes, because this transformation is far too important. And putting on this new self, it is the only way to get to heaven. But let's turn over to our text in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, that is one of the locations of this old self, new self concept that we're talking about. And just like last week, I think we really need to hammer home why it is that we need to make sure that we are focused on putting on this new self. This is why you and I, on an individual basis, need to be concerned with putting on the new self. I think we know generally what it means, but I think there are some specifics that are talked about here in Ephesians chapter 4 that we really need to highlight. And if we can remember these highlights and remember these concepts, then that should drive us to want to be more diligent in making sure that we are putting on this new self. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 24 through the end of the chapter. He says, "And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So the first thing I want to call your attention to is the fact that this new self is actually put on by Christians. The new self that we're talking about, it is for Christians. So you and I, as Christians, we need to be monitoring it, and we need to make sure that we have it on and that we have it on at all times. Now, when we talk about putting on the new self, I think we usually talk about it and we usually think about it in regards to a new Christian. When we're explaining to them the different things that are going to be required of them in their change, we usually talk about how they need to become a new creature. And I think that is good, and I think that is helpful, because people, they really just need to know what they're signing up for. But what I'm saying is that every single day the Christian needs to be putting on this new self, or at the very least, making sure that it's still on. Just think of who this charge of putting on the new self was written to. Who was Paul talking to? He was talking to Christians. He was talking to the church in Ephesus. Those are the people who are told to make sure that they put on the new self. They needed to be reminded to put on the new self. So evidently, they, as baptized believers, they were still people who had not put on this new self. That's why Paul has to remind them. So we can't just think that just because we are Christians that we are actually past this point of needing to put on this new self. We can't think that we are past the point of needing to monitor our own actions. Because the original charge was given to people who were Christians just like us. It was given to believers just like us. And these people, they were susceptible to not having this new self on. Again, just like us. We are in the exact same boat that they are. But God felt the need to remind Christians to put on the new self because really, simply, sometimes we forget. Just as life gets hectic, sometimes we forget as bills add up, as we lose loved ones, as uncertainty and doubt from life kind of creep in, we can lose track of what we're supposed to be doing. So as life happens, it can distract us from putting on the new self. And we all experience life and the challenges and the difficulties or maybe the distractions that come with it. But since we know that, we have to make sure that we are reminding ourselves of what we need to be doing. We need to be reminding ourselves to make sure that we have on this new self. So if you are a Christian here today, then this is something that you need to be thinking about on a regular basis. And that kind of naturally leads into the second part, is that this new self is actually a continuous thing. Again, it's not an individual act like baptism or like an act of repentance, although both of those are obviously a part of this process as well. But you don't put on this new self once and then just don't worry about it or just forget about it. This is a constant and a routine thing that Christians do. Just think of all of the different examples that Paul gives when he's talking about what are the different things that the new self does. All of these different things are continuous actions. Look there in verse 25 with me. Who here thinks that they can speak truth to their neighbor just once and think that they're accomplishing what Paul is talking about here? Verse 28, he talks about laboring. Laboring is something that the new self does. That's a continuous thing. You don't just stop stealing once and then work one day and then now you say that you have put on the new self. He says you are performing these things with his own hands, what is good. That is a continuous thing. So all of these different examples that Paul gives, as well as the traits that the new self has, these are ongoing things. So when you notice that there is actually an aspect of your life where you are doing well and you are actually improving and you are showing that you have on this new self, well, now you need to keep it up. Because God needs us to continue to work on these different things. He needs us to continue to grow and to perfect this new self. So again, we aren't talking about a one-time thing. We are looking at a completely new way of life. We are looking at something that needs to still be happening for the rest of our lives. So even as an experienced Christian, it means that this new self is something that we need to be monitoring very, very often. Again, you can't put this new self on autopilot. This is a continuous focus for the dedicated Christian. But maybe the most important aspect of it all is that this new self is like God, or it's like Christ. So he says that this new self is created in the likeness of God there in verse 24. And I think we say all the time that we want to be more like Christ. We say it in our prayers. I don't think you could go 1 month without hearing someone pray that we become more like Christ. Well, you become like him by putting on this new self. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. He says, therefore, and we know what that word means. He's referencing the things that he's just said. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So this new self passage is sandwiched between two calls to be like God. So if we say that we want to be like him, then really the responsibility is on us. Don't just pray that you be more like Him. Get out and actually do the work of putting on this new self. The only way to truly be like God and to truly be like Christ is to go through this transformation and to put on the new self. Now, hopefully these three things kind of illustrate the importance behind having on this new self. Because if this command was given to Christians, then that means that we as Christians must be paying attention to it. If this is a continuous thing, then we need to continue to do it. If this is the way that we can actually be like God in the way that He would have us to be, then this is something that should grab a disciple's attention. Because only the good and only the godly and the God-like people get to go to heaven. So if that is where we say that we want to go, then we know that we all have some work to do in regards to putting on this new self. What we need to do is we need to make sure that we are embodying this new self at all times. We need to make sure that we have all of those traits that make up this new self. Because God is looking for people who currently have the new self on. You know, He's not going to be receiving people who had the new self on 3 years ago or a week ago or last month. He's looking for people who have the new self on right now. Just imagine if Christ returned looking for people who have on the new self and you didn't have it on today. I would say that that would be tragic. I would say that that's kind of like what happens in Matthew 25 in the parable of the 10 virgins. You would be completely unprepared if you didn't make sure you had on the new self. But we don't have to be unprepared. The question is how? How can we make sure that we have this new self on? I think thankfully there are some things that we can look at in ourselves in order to check to make sure that we have this new self on. There are actually three kind of general ways to check. And really, you will need to examine yourself to figure out where specifically you fall into one of these general categories. It's kind of one of those things that's between you and God. But we know the areas that we are deficient in. So I would really encourage everyone to take some time this week and just kind of look and see if you can tell if you have on this new self. Because, you know, I don't know exactly what it is that you might need to work on because I'm not with you all the time. In fact, I'm really with the majority of you guys a maximum of 3 hours in a week. But I'm with myself all the time. So I know what I need to work on and surely you know what you need to work on as well. The first thing is that this new self has new actions. So if you want to see if you have this new self on, you're going to need to check your actions. Again, look back in Ephesians chapter 4, and again, notice the not this, but that language here. He says, laying aside all falsehood, you speak truth. So don't lie, but also speak truth. He who steals must steal no longer, but he must labor. No unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Now you speak words of edification. You are exchanging a bad action for a good one. Now, I think the beauty that of this is that a lot of this transformation, you can kind of keep the same energy. You just have to use that energy for good now. For example, if you were a gossip, you can still talk about people now, but now you have to say things that are good and truthful and edifying. And that may not be as much fun, but that is a godly way to use the tongue. Stealing or being a thief, that seems like it's a lot of work for me, and I'm maybe that's just a me thing. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks that being a thief is kind of hard work, but it seems like you are expending a lot of energy and effort in order to be a successful thief, especially the kind of thief who's going to make that make their living that way. So instead of using all of that energy in order to be a thief, now you use that energy in order to labor. Instead of using your energy for something that was a byproduct of the old self, now you use it for something that's useful for this new self. And I think you can just kind of go on and on and on about showing ways that an action that the old self used to do can actually be changed, and now it can actually be a good thing, something that is useful for God. But I think so many times we kind of hide behind the idea of maybe we don't do bad things, and I think that's a huge, in fact, I know that is a huge part. That is half of the battle. Like, please, yes, don't do bad things. But if your most redeeming quality as an experienced Christian is that you don't do bad things, I would say that's a problem. Because the pattern here is you don't do this bad thing because now you are doing this good thing over here. So my question is, what good things are you doing? Are there any good things? Is there something that you could point to and say that this is something good that I do for the Lord, something I do well for the Lord? So yes, maybe you don't curse, but do you speak kindly? Do you edify other people with your words? Sure, you don't spend time watching R-rated movies, but do you spend time reading your Bible? If you have a family, do you have dedicated study time with the family? This new self has all new and godly actions. So if you can't point to an action that you do for the Lord, then that's not a good thing. That means that you don't really have this new self on. But the good thing is you have time to change that. All of us have one advantage in common. We can all open up Scripture and we can see the things that God wants His people to do, and we can actually do them. So this new self comes with new actions. So check your actions and you can see if you are in line with this new self. The second way that we can tell is if we actually check our attitude, because this new self also has all new attitudes. Look there in verses 31 and 32. He says, bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, clamor, all of those things have to go. All of those attitudes have to go. And I don't think you have to think very hard to understand why those attitudes aren't conducive to a good Christian life. But those attitudes, the ones that you removed, they are replaced with good attitudes, the kinds that are good for a conducive Christian life. Things like kindness and things like tenderheartedness. Now, obviously, this is not an exhaustive list. There are many good traits that a Christian who has on the new self is going to show. But we know the good traits that we're supposed to have. We know the characteristics of God that we are supposed to be emulating. Now, here are some examples of how this change in an attitude actually works. So you may not necessarily give in to your anger problems anymore, but have you replaced those anger problems with kindness? You may not be greedy anymore. Maybe money is no longer the primary focus of your life anymore. I would say that's a good thing. Like, again, please don't be greedy. Greedy is one of the characteristics of the old self. So sure, you're not greedy now, but now are you generous? Money may not be the driving force of your life anymore, but is using your money in order to benefit the Lord, is that the driving force of your life now? Because that's what a change is. You don't just remove an attitude, you actually replace it with a godly one. So what we need to do is we need to be looking at our attitudes and making sure that we are reflecting Christ in all of them. And there are many attitudes that do not mesh with the old self. So again, go ahead and get those out, that don't mesh with the new self. Go ahead and get those out. But there are also many attitudes that are present when we have on the new self. We have to figure out what those are. And once we understand, we have to get those in. These are things like being loving and being peaceable and being kind. The kinds of things that you read about in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We should be constantly searching the Scriptures for the kinds of attitudes that a follower of Christ should have. And then we need to make sure that we have them and we are showing them day in and day out. So if we want to make sure that we have on this new self, we have to make sure that we check our attitudes. But the last, and again, maybe the most important way to check is we have to check our focus. The new self has experienced all new focus. The focus, it isn't on self anymore. The focus is on other people. And I think this might be the hardest one to do all of the time, because so easily we can again start focusing on self the way that we did when we were engaging in the old self. But selfishness, that is of the old self. The new self is actually selfless. Again, look at some of these examples here in Ephesians chapter 4, the change that Paul is referring to. Why do you now speak truth to your neighbor? He says, for we are members of one another. Because of your responsibility to others, we have to speak truth to them. Why do we labor instead of steal? He says, so we will have something to share with those who are in need. working and working hard is so important because it gives you the ability to help other people. Why do we speak words of edification instead of rotten words? It's so that we will give grace to those who hear. It's all about other people and recognizing our role in serving them. So for the new self, life is all about other people. And one of the major ways that you can tell if you have this new self on is if you feel the urge to put other people first. A selfish Christian that does not put others first does not have the new self on. You see this in Romans 12 as well. He talks about being transformed by the renewal of your minds. And then he spends the rest of the chapter talking about all of the different ways to put other people first. Mr. Jim mentioned Philippians chapter 2 this morning. That is a passage that is filled with others first language. One of the major barometers for judging whether or not we have the new self on is where people land on our priority list. Now again, this one is hard to do consistently and practically, but if other people aren't even on your mind, if they aren't even considered when you make your decisions, or if you are just finding it hard to put others first, then that means that this new self isn't quite on yet. And so if you want to know if you have the new self on, you can check your focus. See if you're more focused on self or if you are more focused on other people. Now again, if you are in this category, you know it. You know if you struggle with selfishness. You know if you struggle with attitudes that are not the kinds of attitudes that a Christian should have. You know if you are doing things that a Christ-like person would not do. So let's fix those things. Let's put on the new self. Let's be diligent and be honest and really make sure that we are going through this transformation. Because this transformation, it really is a lifelong journey. Your baptism into Christ, it was really just the beginning of this long journey. It's almost like that was the sign-ups for who is going to enlist in God's army. Now, it's a big deal to enlist, but we know that the hard work starts once you actually become a soldier. Now there's going to be some things that you have to do in order to demonstrate that you are going to honor your commitment to putting on this new self. We can't just say that we're a Christian. We need to be demonstrating it day in and day out. And so this new self that we've been talking about, it takes up all areas of our lives. The new self changes the things that you say. It changes the things that you do. It changes the things that you think. And so that means that we all have a lot of work that we have to do because we all have areas that we can be getting better at. So there is no putting on part of the new self. You know, if we are lacking in one area, then, you know, we can't use our strength in another area as justification. Like, I can't say that, you know, I know that I'm having impure thoughts, but my speech has been looking pretty good here recently. You know, I've got to work on the areas where I'm lacking. Every single part of your life needs to be affected by this new self. And so as I was studying putting on the new self, I realized it's pretty hardcore stuff. Like putting on this new self, it's an intense process. It calls for huge and radical and life-altering changes. But that's kind of exactly what it is described here in Ephesians 4 and verses 26 and 27. He says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Just notice the above and beyond language that's present there. Because we recognize how anger can lead to sin. And then I think we also recognize how anger can actually make it harder for us to keep on this new self. Well, Paul says, don't even let it come close to that. Putting on this new self is so important that you have to go above and beyond to make sure that you have it on at all times. So much so that you can't even go to bed angry. I would say that's intense. I would say that is a radical expectation of Christians. Do not let the devil have any opportunity. And again, I guarantee you, he is looking for that opportunity. He wants nothing more than to find a way to help you take off this new self. And that's why we have to be active and we have to be proactive, because there's nothing passive about what is commanded here in Ephesians chapter 4. We need to be living the kinds of lives where this is a habit, where we are in the habit of regularly checking to make sure that we have on this new self. Now, I think our circumstances might be the biggest danger to keeping on this new self. Sometimes, Sometimes when things are going really, really good, again, we just relax and we get complacent, we get stagnant. But again, we can't afford to get complacent when it comes to putting on and keeping on this new self. When you realize that you have made some good strides in your Christian walk, in your transformation, keep pushing. Because when you keep pushing, that is when you are experiencing the growth, and that is when the perfecting aspect of this transformation actually kicks in. Just remember the passage that Brother Nolan read for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We are charged with perfecting our holiness. So as you continue to work on something, that's how you perfect it. As you continue to work on putting on this new self, that's how the new self is perfected. But I also think that sometimes when things are bad, we lose focus. Sometimes that's the circumstance that gets us away from putting on this new self. And we just had a year full of bad things. You know, I don't think there's any reason to kind of shy away from that or act like it didn't happen. Likely some things that happened, they impacted your spiritual walk with Christ. And if that's the case, well, thankfully you can do something about that. Now, sure, 2021 likely won't have, it won't have all of the stress that 2020 had, but it really could. You know, and it for sure, it will have some stressors, even if it isn't to the same degree or even if it isn't the exact same as 2020. But you know what you can do about it? You can respond better in 2021 than you did in 2020. We can take each day in 2021 and make sure that we are putting on this new self. We can monitor our actions to make sure that they are Christ-like. We can monitor our attitudes. We can monitor our intentions and make sure that we are putting other people first. And so if we are completely focused and dedicated to this transformation process here this year, I can guarantee you that two things are going to happen. Number one, you will have a much more effective walk with Christ in 2021 than you did in 2020. And number two, you will be significantly more prepared for the judgment. And really, I think that's what it's all about. It's all about preparation. So let's make sure that we are continuing to put on this new self. So if you haven't put Christ on in baptism, please make that right tonight, because now is the time to get your life together. The Lord is patient and He is long-suffering and He has been patient with you, but there will be a time where it's too late. So please take advantage of this opportunity that you have right now to make sure your life is right with God. Same with if you've already become a Christian, but you've fallen short in some way. Again, please make that right here tonight. There's no reason not to rededicate yourself to Christ right here and right now. Get back on track. Get back to putting on this new self. And us here at South Coleman, we want to help you in any way that we possibly can. So if you have any needs, please make them known as we stand and as we sing.